Alaskans, wherever you are, welcome to the Must Read Alaska Show, coming to you from somewhere in Alaska. This is the place where we talk about, you guessed it, Alaska, where we keep the mainstream media on their toes, and where we are standing up for what's right in a world run by leftists. You can find out more by heading over to mustreadalaska.com, and also checking out the Must Read Alaska YouTube channel for some really great content. But first, let's get this party started.
Welcome, everybody, to the Must Read Alaska Show. I'm your host, John Quick, coming to you live from somewhere in Alaska. I love today because it is nice and sunny here on the Kenai Peninsula. Snow is melting off the roads. I couldn't be any more excited for sun, and more sun. I hope that we don't have one of those second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth winters around here. I hope spring just pops its head up and stays. I think that'd be really awesome for everybody. Well, for folks tuning in, last night we had an election in Anchorage. Probably looks like there's going to be a runoff. Other seats that were up for a couple of school board seats and a bunch of local service area board seats. Go check out the Muni of Anchorage's website if you want the latest results there. Suzanne also put out a great article last night with all the latest and greatest of that specific election and stats and percentages and all that kind of stuff. So go check that out. Today we have a very awesome guest today. Somebody who I'm very happy to have on, Nick Begich, who is running for Congress here in the great state of Alaska. He was the former chair for Don Young's final campaign, went all around the state with Congressman Don Young the last time Congressman Don Young ran and won. And he is going to tell us all about how his campaign is going. So without further ado, welcome to the Must Read Alaska Show, Nick.
Great to be back, John. Thanks for having me.
Well, I'm super excited you're on. Tell me how the campaign is going. I see you have events, it looks like two or three times a week. You're all around the state, shaking hands, having a good time. It looks like it's going well, but talk to me about how it's going.
It is going well. You know, there's a lot of interest, as you can imagine, in getting new leadership in the United States House for Alaska. I think the more people I talk to, the more I hear, look, Mary Peltola ran a moderate sounding campaign. She's presented herself as a moderate, but people have realized she's voting with Nancy Pelosi about 90% of the time, Ilhan Omar about 85% of the time, and voting the party line around 90% of the time as well. So, you know, you run a campaign and then people get to see how you lead and how you represent the people that elected you. And what we see is a very leftist representation from Mary Peltola in the U.S. House. And I know that that's not where Alaska is. That's not where Alaskans are. And people tell me that all the time. So we're out there, we're meeting with folks from all walks of life, all across the state. It's what we've done since I got in the race in July of last year. And we're going to continue to do that because if you're going to represent the diverse people of Alaska from Southeast all the way up to Utqiagvik, you need to make sure that you're there, meeting them where they're at, hearing their stories, understanding the problems and the solutions that the people of Alaska believe will best address those problems.
Yeah, and I, you know, stark contrast from how Congressman Don Young ran and won elections. And then, you know, I look at that and I think, man, Congressman Don Young did a great job at hearing both sides, but still staying true to being a conservative and pro-Alaska, vastly different than how Congresswoman Mary Peltola is leading. Is that a fair statement?
I think it's a really fair statement. And, you know, it was disappointing in the last election. She sort of took on this persona that she was going to carry on Don Young's legacy. And the reality is Don Young had no love for people like Nancy Pelosi. He would never have voted with them to the extent that that Peltola is voting with these people. And Don Young understood that, yes, Alaska is unique. Alaska is a special place. We all understand that. But it's, you don't compromise the entire nation in order to vote in a partisan way with your team in the way that Mary Peltola has done. And it's the kind of thing that you get enough members of Congress that are voting that way, you're taking the country completely the wrong direction. Joe Biden has been objectively bad for the state of Alaska. In fact, by some measures, I've heard recently that he has issued more executive orders targeting the state of Alaska than sanctions targeting the nation of Iran.
I know. I think a Governor Dunleavy put that out, or maybe it was Dan Sullivan, one of the two.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's unbelievable. I mean, this guy's got it out for our state. And what's really disappointing to see is that, you know, Mary Peltola has endorsed Joe Biden. She thinks that he deserves another 4 years. She wants the people of Alaska to vote for Joe Biden and has said on the record, national record, that she believes Joe Biden's age is an asset, not a liability. Now, this is how out of touch Mary Peltola is, not just with the people of Alaska, but with reality. This is crazy. You know, Joe Biden needs to go. Alaska can't afford 4 more years of Joe Biden. I've been with Trump since 2016. I'm proud to have endorsed Donald Trump back in December before even the Iowa caucuses occurred. Donald Trump has been the best president that we have seen in our lifetimes for the state of Alaska. And we need him back in office if we're going to open up this state and deliver on the promise of our state's motto, North to the Future.
You know, it brings up a point. One of the things that Mary was supportive of the Joe Biden administration and continues to be supportive of is the Inflation Reduction Act, which did anything but reduce inflation. She was a big supporter of it. What's your stance on it?
Well, this is part of the problem with Congress. One of the many problems that you see in Congress is that these bills are not named properly. That is not the Inflation Reduction Act. It is the Inflation Creation Act. And the bill has been called the greatest climate change bill by the Democrats. Al Gore has said it. Joe Biden himself has said it. It has nothing to do with reducing inflation. It has everything to do with a climate agenda that, again, puts Alaska last. It deprioritizes traditional energy, oil and gas, things that we need in this state to be able to heat our homes and to power our future. And again, it's just consistent with what we've seen out of the Biden administration that the priorities of this administration are a radical climate agenda and have nothing to do with the real world.
You know, one of the things I think that I've heard Congresswoman Mary Peltola say about Joe Biden is he's has one of the sharpest minds of any president, something to that effect. What's your take on that? Do you believe that Joe Biden is sharp as a tack and has Alaska's best interests in mind?
If Joe Biden is sharp as a tack, you know, he's doing a great job hiding it because every time we see Joe Biden get up and try to deliver remarks, even when those remarks are written on a teleprompter, he'll make statements that are absolutely ridiculous. He'll read the prompts on the prompter saying things like, end of quote, repeat the line. Joe Biden is not functioning as the United States president. Joe Biden does not have the cognitive ability to do the job. And anyone can see that. It's plain as day. Anyone can see every single day Joe Biden puts his foot in his mouth. So I don't know how anyone could believe that Joe Biden has the mental acuity to be president for 4 more years. He doesn't have the mental acuity to be president right now.
So you mentioned, you know, one of President Joe Biden's agendas has been anti-Alaska. There's more sanctions or administrative orders against the state of Alaska than Iran that he's thrown out there. For the most part, Congresswoman Mary Peltola has supported Joe Biden's agenda, which is anti-oil, anti-energy agenda. What's your stance on where Alaska should be in terms of energy production? My guess is you have a vastly different view on it than Joe Biden and Congresswoman Mary
Oh,
Peltola.
clearly. Well, you know, let's right up front make it clear. The one thing that we've seen come through is Willow. And Joe Biden himself, weeks after approving Willow, had this to say. He said, this is pretty close to exactly the words he used. He said his inclination was to disapprove of Willow across the board, but he was told by his attorneys at the Bureau of Land Management over at Interior that if he did so, would be challenged in court and he would lose. And so instead, what he did was he negotiated to take millions, actually more than 10 million acres of Alaska lands off the table. His words, forever, forever. So Joe Biden has stated on the record that he wants to end fossil fuels permanently. And his words, period, period, period. He doesn't want any more drilling or leasing on federal lands for oil and gas. This is going to shut the state down. That's his real goal. And you're going to hear a lot in the coming months about oil and gas. And the Democrats, and Mary Peltola specifically, are going to try to position themselves as being pro-traditional energy. But nothing could be further from the truth. And every single day, Joe Biden proves it with his actions. And I think you couldn't have more differences between two candidates in a race as you have with myself and Mary Peltola. Mary Peltola voted against the Lower Energy Costs Act. This was the first bill presented in the 118th Congress. That's this Congress. Last year, she voted against that bill. That bill would have assisted with permitting, streamlining, regulatory reform, forced the federal government to open up leases on federal lands, and she voted against it. And she's going to try to run from that record during this campaign, but you can't run from that record. That's a vote against Alaska, and it's a vote against energy. It's a vote against Alaska's economic future.
Well, I was reading an article that Suzanne wrote recently that said something like 77% of Congresswoman Mary Peltola's fundraising happens outside of Alaska. Now, she is a rock star in the Democratic Party. She is a fundraising machine. She's raised more money than I think probably any other congressional race in Alaska's history, or will do that this time around. How do you compete with that? That just seems like a daunting task. And do your donors look different than hers? Meaning, I assume probably a lot of your donors are just here in Alaska.
We've got a lot of support from Alaska. You know, Mary Peltola has, she's constructed a national operation, right? There's no question about the fact that the Democrats are very worried about losing this seat. And so she's been out there hustling. She's raised around $1 million at this point in the cycle just from political action committees. And these are groups across the country. They're special interests that are pouring money into her campaign. And look, I can tell you, they're going to expect something for that. That money doesn't come for free. These people are pouring cash into her campaign because they know that if she gets elected again, they're going to be able to call on her for those favors. And look, $1 million for her. I haven't raised PAC money, right? My money's coming from real human beings. My money's coming from real people. And I'm proud to say that, because at the end of the day, money doesn't vote, people do. And the people of Alaska are ready for a change, no matter what folks outside may think about Mary Peltola. People of Alaska have had enough.
So what are you hearing from folks as you're going to these events every week, talking to normal everyday folks here in Alaska that are probably very concerned about the direction of our country and some of the choices that the federal government's shoving down the throat of us here in Alaska?
I'll tell you what, the biggest issue that I hear about, I mean, this is consistent and has been for months, is the immigration issue. And it's not something that if you'd asked me 2-3 years ago whether this was going to be an issue in Alaska, I would have said no. I don't think historically this has been an issue in Alaska, but the immigration situation, and I use the term immigration loosely in this context, it's just gotten out of control. It's totally out of hand. You've got, by some measures, 14 million illegal migrants in the country. And look, they need to be sent home. They need to be sent back to their point of origin. You've got the Biden administration not just allowing these people to cross into the United States, but then supporting them when they get here with free, EBT cards, housing, transportation, phones. He's given them work visas for up to 5 years while their asylum claims are working their way through the courts. Joe Biden and his administration and those allies of his, like Mary Peltola in Congress, are encouraging these people to come and stay in the United States. And it's obvious what's happened. Okay, anyone with eyes to see can see that the game plan of the left is to bring these people in because under the latest interpretations of constitutional law, these people can be counted in the census. And when they're counted in the census, they allocate House seats to the states that are harboring these people. That's why California's inviting them in willingly, saying, hey, settle here, because California is getting ready to lose a number of House seats to states like Texas and Florida, right? So when that allocation changes in 2030, those states, not only do they lose House reps, but they also lose electoral college votes. And so that migration change, that those pattern changes would result in far more Republican House seats, but for this illegal migration program that's being propagated by the Biden administration. And the Biden administration and Joe Biden himself's goal is to create a permanent power structure for the Democrats through illegal migration. And people in Alaska are frustrated by this. They see it. It's plain. It's obvious. And look, these folks are bringing in a lot of things that we don't want to see. They're bringing in crime. They're bringing in drugs. They're bringing in all sorts of things. And they make their way into Alaska. And that's why, you know, at this point, even in Alaska, every state is a border state. So that is a major issue. It's not been a historically relevant issue for Alaska compared to other matters. But it's important and it's top of people's minds. So that's something that I'm hearing a lot about.
Nice. Well, there was recently a poll that just came out, I think by the Democratic Party, where it showed you and Congresswoman Mary Pottola neck and neck. Is that true?
There was a Democrat aligned group, yep, that put out a poll here recently sounding the alarm on Alaska. Interestingly enough, yes, the poll has us dead even, 50-50, me and Mary Pottola. I will say it maps to our internal polling, things that we've been checking as the race has evolved over time. But yeah, it's a dead heat between me and Mary. And again, couldn't see a more stark contrast between our positions. When I got in this race, in our first internal poll, we were down 13 points. We've made up that gap just by getting out there and making sure people understand how Mary has been voting, who she's supporting for president. People figure that out. They say, oh my gosh. Well, the problem is you're not going to hear about that in some of the mainstream media sources. It takes sources like Must Read Alaska, our campaign, educating people on the key votes that she's taken that are not in the best interest of our state or our nation.
So let's say it's day one on the job. You win, you go to DC. What are some of the first things that are going to be important to you?
Well, I'll tell you, one of the top things, and again, this goes back to your prior question about what are people saying? We've got to get our national deficit spending under control. And this is something you hear sort of cycle after cycle, people at all levels talking about it, but we're really at a precipice now. This is a pivot point for our nation. If we don't get the government disciplined on spending, we're going to have a major reduction in the standard of living in our nation. People really need to understand most of the things in your house, in your garage, the clothes on your back, most of this stuff is not made in the United States. There's some things that are, but most of it is not. Walk into the average Walmart and tell me how much is made in the United States, okay? We don't produce the things that we consume in this country. And because of that, we lose the reserve currency status as a U.S. dollar. We're going to have a dramatic reduction in our standard of living because we're not going to be able to buy the things that we're used to buying and live the life that we're used to living if we abuse that dollar. And we have been abusing that dollar. We've been printing money that doesn't exist in order to pay bills that the government is running up. Right? The Federal Reserve is creating this money, loaning it to the government, saying, hey, you'll pay us back later. Well, you know, you can only do that for so long before you start to see inflation. And that's exactly what we've been seeing. And so I think that's one of the top priorities when elected, is to get down to Congress and be a part of the team that is trying to rein this in. If we don't rein this in, there's not going to be a whole lot to talk about 5, 10, 15 years down the line. And for people who are on fixed income or are about to be, if you're a Social Security recipient, if you are someone who's been saving, your money is being eroded by the federal government because they can't get it together. And if we don't get it together, it's going to hurt everyone. And unfortunately, it hurts people who can afford it the least, the most.
Yep. It is an unfortunate thing. And, you know, it's like just your grocery bill. Every day person here in Alaska, they've probably seen their grocery bill go through the roof the last 2 years, and something has to happen, or that's just going to keep getting worse and worse and worse.
Well, and you know, Mary and many of the Democrats across the country, they want to blame private corporations, small businesses for the problems of inflation. No, they're to blame. They are the problem. This is not a private sector problem. It is a government problem. And that's the thing. They want to shift the blame away from themselves like any politician would. But the reality is it's their policies that are creating this problem. Things like the Inflation Reduction Act that we talked about, trillions of dollars of unpaid for spending being taken out of our pockets and put into their friends' pockets, right? And some of this, most of this money is not even paid for. You know, and just as a data point, as an illustration, more than $1 trillion now a year is going to pay interest on the debt. Not the principal, the interest alone. Okay, that's 40% of personal income tax payments. 40%, if you pay taxes and you're listening today, 40% of your money is going to pay interest alone on the debt, and it's rising. We can't keep doing this. We cannot keep doing this. So that's a key priority. I think we've touched on oil and gas. I think we need a broader plan for Alaska. You know, we've had legislation in the past, in our state's past, that has been specific to Alaska, that's passed through the federal government. It's what allowed Native claim settlement. It's what allowed for the pipeline to occur. We've had big legislation that focuses just on our state, and I think that's what we need in order to unlock Alaska. And we do need to unlock Alaska. We've talked about oil and gas, but we also need to talk about critical minerals, base metals, precious metals, rare earths. We have all those things in abundance. We have a timber industry that was once thriving in Alaska that needs to come back. We've got tremendous opportunities with tourism, yes, but also fishing. We produce 60% of our nation's seafood in Alaska. We need to make sure that is done in a responsible and sustainable way that will allow us to continue in that tradition for many, many years to come. And so there are a lot of opportunities. We need Congress to look at Alaska in total and not try to fix one thing here and one thing there. We need a big package, and that's what I'd like to work on in DC for our people.
Nice. Well, how can folks get a hold of your campaign? Give us all those details, Facebook and website. Maybe they want to host an event at their house. What's the best way to get in touch with your campaign?
Best way is through our website, alaskansfornickbegich.com. You can also jump out to our Facebook page. I'm proud to say we crossed 16,000 followers this last weekend, nice. Which is a heck of a milestone. You know, it's a testament to the number of people that are really engaged, really involved, ready for change, and have basically stepped up. So share our content, get involved, message our campaign if you'd like to be a part of it. We're always looking for volunteers and for ambassadors across a state that is large. I tell people, you know, look, in Congress, where there's 435 members, most of the other members can drive across their entire congressional district in 30 to 45 minutes, right? You can't drive across Anchorage in 30 minutes. So we've got a big state, got a lot of ground to cover, and we need your help in order to get this message out to everyone.
Well, Nick, I really appreciate you joining us. Any last minute thoughts here before we head off?
Look, I mean, I'm excited about the opportunities that we have in front of us as a state. I think most people choose to live in Alaska because we believe in what is possible here. Joe Biden, Mary Peltola, people like Deb Haaland, they don't want to see the Alaska we want to see. They really don't. They really don't. They want to make Alaska a national park. They want to put us in a snow globe, shake us up and see what happens. But they don't want us to do anything. They have a policy that you could summarize as look, but don't touch. That's their Alaska plan. My Alaska plan is very different. I think we need to develop Alaska. I think we need to grow Alaska. And I think that we can be generationally wealthy as Alaskans, as a people. And but we're going to have different representation in the Congress in order to do that. And I want to be that representation for Alaska.
All right. So, well, Nick, I really appreciate you joining us. Folks listening in, if you just got the tail end here, I want to encourage you to go back and listen to the whole thing. There's a stark contrast between Congresswoman Mary Pottola's agenda and what Nick's offered up here. And we'll put all the links to Nick's campaign and Facebook and stuff like that into the podcast description. And for folks tuning in, if you want to help support Must Read Alaska, just go to mustreadalaska.com. On the right-hand side, there's a little donate button. Every $5, $10, $100 helps keep the lights on here at Must Read Alaska. If you want to sponsor the Must Read Alaska show, just email me, John, J-O-H-N, at mustreadalaska.com. I'd love to have you sponsor the show. Nick, again, thank you so much for coming on. We wish you nothing but success from here at Must Read Alaska. And I hope you have a phenomenal rest of your week. And until next time, I'm John Quick from somewhere in Alaska. Thanks so much.